It's going to go well with our sermon tonight or our Bible study. We're talking about counsel. In the book of Proverbs, it has much to say about all the preparations of the heart in man and things that we've been going over. But in the 20th chapter where we'll be at tonight, it deals specifically with counsel. And a lot of times when we get into different ways of determining our own, as we said before, back in, I think it was chapter number 18, we talked about the desires of a man. That desire drives us, and that it helps us, if we will say this, the desires, if we're not careful, we have to divide, even talking about the separation. We talked about the direction of the hardened man is going to be determined by their desire. So whether we're yielded to our spiritual side or whether we're yielded to the fleshly side, the desire that overcomes us and helps us, it drives us to make a decision. Those decisions determine our destiny. And so a song, if we're going to walk with Jesus, it's going to help us to always make spiritual decisions. That's that walk today. We're still in January, folks. We're not far, not to the end of the month yet. So all those New Year goals to read the Bible through, to pray every day, to walk with Him, they're not so far in the past that we can't pick them back up if we let them fall and go down. Before we get into the scripture tonight, many of you, I saw you turn into Proverbs. I'd just like to get a couple, maybe a couple people give a testimony before we have the Bible study tonight about what anniversary Sunday, maybe something you saw in the past that we could be praying to see again. Amen. Maybe one or two of you. Do we have that microphone? Oh, there he is. I lost you. I don't know how I lost you, and this crowd, but I lost you for a moment. I knew you had the microphone. Anybody, we want to just two or three, and we want to be quick about it. So if the Lord's prompting your heart, don't wait another second. Go on and raise that hand. You've been here before on anniversary Sunday, and you want to give a testimony about it. Amen. Anybody? Should I have prepped you before? Amen.
I've been to a lot of different churches, growing up in one church and then going to different Bible college and seeing how different churches, and they all have their anniversary Sundays, but there has never been an anniversary Sunday like here at Landmark. My first anniversary Sunday, I was just blown away by how much effort and work people put into it. And just how many people would go out and witnessing and bringing people into God's house. And so the anniversary Sunday here at Landmark is a special day. Amen. I've been to some other places, and it's a big day, of course, but not here like Landmark. It really is the biggest Sunday of the year. And just getting to see all the people trust Christ on that day, it's amazing. It really is just amazing just to get to be a part of it.
I appreciate that, Brother Jesse. It really is one of those kind of days. It's a special. If you've never experienced it, how many people have never been here for Anniversary Sunday yet? All right. There's a few, couple college students and other brand new members and folks with us here. And so we're looking forward to that. And I also know there's a lot of people that listen by radio and things. And so I wanted them to be able to get a good testimony of what God does on the property and through us for people that have been here before. Anybody else? We'll just take a couple more. Anybody else? Appreciate that, Brother Jesse, stepping up there and doing that for us. I see that. I saw that hand.
Okay, so my first anniversary Sunday was 2006, and it was crazy. I went with my brothers and sisters, and it was wild. There was a lot of people, came back with no shoes, no jacket. Got a whooping, And then the following year, I was a veteran, so I know where I was going, how many tickets I needed, how many tickets I saved up. But then my teenage years, I got to see some of my friends get saved, and now they're serving the Lord. Amen. And it's just a good thing to have. Both of the gym and the tents were packed out. Like, there was nowhere to stand or to even sit down. So can't wait to see that once more.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Josh. Anybody else? Amen.
I had a call today from a preacher that Brother Parsons knows, and the word's getting around that we had a good transition and we've had a good year.
Amen.
And they were just complimenting about that.
Amen.
And I told him it's great. I praise the Lord that he sent Brother Parsons to be here to take over. And I want to say an encouraging word to you, Brother Parsons, only 49 more years to go.
Amen. Lord's really going to have to lift my hands. I started a little later than Pastor Carter did here, and I would have to go to about 96. And but you pray for me, amen.
I got saved in a small church. Well, there's no such thing as a small church. In a church in Iowa. I'm a bus kid, and so my home pastor was from a southern church. And they always did a big anniversary Sunday in the fall, and so I see that we do it big down here for the bus kids, and they always had something for the adults as well, but just being here, I'd gone to college in Indiana at a church there where they didn't do anything big as a church as a whole for anniversary. Each, like, part of the ministry did something for their part of the ministry when it was their anniversary Sunday. And so just the fact that we do something as a whole ministry for our anniversary is a big thing, because the church I got saved in did something as a whole for their anniversary, and it's a big deal here as a whole for our ministry. And this is our, I think it's our third anniversary, second anniversary. I can't remember, because it's like, my days just kind of blend together most of the time. So I'm looking forward to this Sunday, because this year I signed up. I voluntold my husband. He's helping, and we voluntold Raphael. He's helping us. So we're kind of going to turn the lollipop tree into our deaf ministry booth. So we're excited, because I'm excited because I signed us up, and I voluntold my husband. He's helping. So, and then, you know, my son's been helping on a bus route, and so it's like, he's like, he's already said he's giving away most of his tickets to his bus kids.
Amen.
So I'm like, well, and then you're going to be watching your bus kids, and you're going to be making sure that they're behaving. And he's like, I am. I'm like, well, that's what it means to be a bus worker.
Amen.
And then we were giving him and the person he visits with a hard time this week, because they came back early, and he goes, well, it was cold. I'm like, dude, you're from up north. It wasn't that cold. You know, we would visit when it was 0 degrees outside. And, like, they were complaining because it was 35. I'm like, it wasn't that cold. But we're excited about this week because, you know, it's anniversary Sunday. You got it, you know. But we're just the fact that we go big for our bus kids here.
Amen.
And it's just being a bus kid from the rural Iowa, and the fact that, you know, we're a bus church, and just,
amen.
That's a big deal to this bus kid's heart. So.
Amen. I do love Anniversary Sunday. It's a great blessing. Coming here to Bible college, you know, seeing Anniversary Sunday for what it was, you know, it's been the first time I really was at a church. We had big days where we made push for people to get saved, but it wasn't the anniversary where we were, instead of us investing in ourselves and having a time together, it was really a focus on the community, on people coming to Christ, and really the church making a big day to serve everybody that could come. And so I you know, it really blessed my heart coming, and it's a tradition that we would never want to change. Amen. Of how we do it. So yes.
Well, I was riding my bike by the church today, and I just started feeling like excitement about, you know, something's happening. I mean, I raised my daughter here, and I didn't realize what a blessing it was. But looking back, I mean, goodness, this is just such, Landmark is just such a huge part of this community. And, you know, and then my kids grew up and everything, and I just kind of, you know, lollygagged for a bit. But now I can really sense, like, how important this church is to Haines City. It's just huge. And it's, you know, I was able to invite someone today and, you know, just spurted out of my mouth, hey, why don't you come to Anniversary Sunday if you have any kids? So I'm glad about the cards, because, you know, I can specifically write out some cards. If I don't forget when I leave, I want to take some cards and specifically invite some people, and hopefully the Lord will draw them using that, because it's such a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Carter and Pastor Parsons. Thank you.
All right, we'll take one more. That's good. That's good for us. And it is something with these buttons are still working, amen, and that you can push this button all the way up until this Sunday, okay? And it'll work for you, amen. It may even work past that if you want to keep wearing it, but that's the big push. Anybody else? We have one more? Anybody? I see one back there, Mrs. Speck. She'll close us out.
I just remember, I don't remember how many years ago it's been now, but it was really rainy that weekend. And I remember the prayers for the week all around the clock. And that day it was raining all the way around, but around that ballpark the sun was shining and it wasn't a drop of rain anywhere. But when it got time to break it up, then the rain started. But I just remember what a blessing that was, that God took care of that day. And I believe Brother Willis just lived down the street from here then, and he had went home for something, and he said it was pouring. It hit his house, but in the ball field, it wasn't raining at all. That was just a blessing that I can't ever forget.
We need people to pray, man, and that's why we pray about the weather, because it really does come down to that. It comes down to prayer, and we've seen that year after year where God just hold off the rain until just when we need it. And we've had a few cold ones, but we just keep on going, amen. And so open your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 20 tonight. So Proverbs chapter 20, we just want to try to overview the chapter here tonight, and I want to focus on counsel. The scripture has a couple different times that it deals with that. It kind of starts out here in chapter 20. Again, don't forget who wrote the book. You got Solomon write as the penman, but the author of the book is the Lord. And as he writes through Solomon, he uses Solomon, this guy he's invested all this wisdom in, and he starts the chapter off with something that we never need to forget. We as a nation, oftentimes we don't realize, as Christians, we look down sometimes on the world, when we ought to realize the world doesn't read this book. They don't have the same wisdom available to them, and necessarily until they get saved and the Lord can draw them. He's trying to draw them in salvation, but as a believer, you know, I'd hate to be a believer in the Lord, walking with him, and then not realize what we get in verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, I've known believers who have known Jesus for some time, but circumstances of life, rather than letting the Lord help and deal with them, they'll turn to alcohol, and they'll try to, instead of letting the Lord heal their problems, instead of letting the Lord soften and comfort their heart. This book is full of comfort. This book is full of peace. This book is full of all those different things. They'll look to, I mean, they didn't name it wrong, folks. The Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to be the comforter in the Christian's life, not the spirits that you can buy down at the local liquor store. And that truly is exactly what they are. And we don't talk like that anymore. And a lot of preachers are scared to preach on that, because there's a bunch of people that preach in our day, and some of them that so-called themselves Baptist, Independent Fundamental Baptist, and I don't know if any of those terms would be, you know, but the bare bones of it is to teach that the Lord Jesus changed water into alcoholic wine is heresy. All right? And I just want to make sure we understand that, because if Jesus changed water into alcoholic wine, then he could not have been my Savior. He couldn't go against his own book. He couldn't go against all the verses that say that you ought not even look at that wine when it's red and it stirs in the cup. All right? If he's going to change it and then hand it out, and there's too many people in our day that are trying to make everybody happy and try to balance those things out, And that's all you're doing. You can't dial it back far enough to find somebody who was solid and believed the Bible that would teach that that is alcoholic wine in the scripture. The Bible is very careful, especially our King James Bible is very careful to teach there's wine and there's new wine, and it's going to be giving you context. It's a supernatural book to be able to lay a foundation, to be able to give you good context on what it's speaking of. He goes really through the first five verses, and he's going to deal with all these different, if I could say it, that, you know, we've been dealing with the heart and the preparations of man's heart. And see, these first five verses are going to be looking at different types of men. How different types of men deal with things. There's people who, in verse 2, fear of the king, you know, as a roaring as a lion, it says, whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. The Bible's going to try to give us counsel by the time we get to verse 5. But even in our nation, we have a president that we don't really all the time agree with. You know, and if we would be silly to go up and poke the bear with a stick. Because he is the president and he does have power. We may not like that he has power, but he's in a position of power. And to go up and make ourselves known unto him and poke the bear with a stick, or if I could hear, the Bible uses the term lion. Bears are more prevalent in Florida than lions are. But you know, I would rather poke a bear than a lion. Amen. Really, I don't want to poke either one of them because it's not going to go well for me, right? But that's what the Bible's telling us. You know, we ought to fear the Lord, but we ought to have enough sense that we don't go down and cause trouble. We need, when the bear comes looking for us, we ought to have enough fear of the Lord to stand our ground, to stand on the Word of God, and to stand on the commandments, the precepts, and just the person of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to go looking for him and poke him so that he makes us. You know, there's a lot of people during that age where they got martyred. And a lot of them, some of them foolishly looked for martyrdom. I mean, you can read about it. But there are others that were trying to tell people about Jesus, trying to preserve the word of God. And they were martyred outside. I mean, they had to go hunt them and find them. And I just want you to understand, church, the closer we get to Jesus' return, the worse it's going to get in the world. And even though we need to stand for truth, we don't need to go poke the lion. We need to be wise, and when we're challenged or someone speaks to us, we still need to be the witness that we ought to be. But I can speak about Jesus. I don't have to always take a swing at the king at every chance I get. And so we got to have a right balance, all right? And the scripture is going to talk about that. And that's one of the things that's hard for the Christian in the Christian life is to try to be led of the Lord enough to not get always so, to have balance in this, in our witness, balance as we give truth. We don't have time tonight to share the balance of necessarily what we would call truth and grace. But the best way to explain it is to look at the piano and to realize the piano has strings. All right? If you tighten the strings too much, you can ruin the strings because you over-tighten them and they'll never hit the way they ought to. Or you can make them too loose and they will never make a sound. So the balance of truth and grace in the Christian's life, the way we deal with people, the way we deal with the king, all of those things are important because there is a balance. The strings do need to be tight, set just the way the Lord wants them to, according to his word. That's why we need to be wise. That's why we need to be in the word of God and have discernment that we saw in the last chapter. I know it's been a little bit of time because it's been a while, and we had our Bible conference, great Bible conference. Let me tell you that they had a meeting, Brother Coral had a meeting up in Orlando today for church planters, and Brother Tim Manis called me and he said, Brother, they were talking, he said, from the pulpit, several men talked about how good the Bible conference was last week. Amen. And so we had a really good Bible conference. Amen. And we didn't need confirmation up there, but it's good to hear that some of the preachers had a good time and they were encouraged as well. Amen. And so discernment is something that we desperately need, and that creates balance in the Christian's life. The Word of God gives us discernment, and we get a lot. Sometimes we'll come to a place where our level of discernment is not where it needs to be. Now, we need to search the scripture, but God has given us leaders. In the home, there's a husband. Husband, that gives you, I mean, you may think, man, I'm the leader. You may blow up your chest, but you better be careful because now you've got a terrible role to play. You have a great responsibility. All right? It's not something where I'm the man. All right, you're the leader. You're the one that's supposed to be standing up for your family between you and God. You're the one that's supposed to be there, I mean, trying to search from the scriptures. And if your family comes to you with a question and you don't have it, you have leaders that God has placed in your life. And if your level of discernment doesn't reach that place, then guess where you should look? You should go look at verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That means that even if you go sit down with the pastor, you sit down with your Sunday school teacher, you sit down with your bus captain. I mean, we could go through layers of people that you respect, one of the deacons, somebody that you feel like is a good man that has good discernment, and you ask for their help or their counsel. It still comes to a place they are not going to rub a magic ball and say, this is what you should do. That's not how it works. They're going to listen to you and weigh it out and say, sometimes people ask me questions and I can say, the Bible says this. There are sometimes they ask me a question that I go, this is what the Bible says you ought to deal with this in integrity. Because the Bible doesn't lay out exactly what direction you should go, but whatever you told them, you ought to come through with that. That's what the last chapter said. So there's going to be layers of how the preacher is going to deal with you. He's going to take your situation and he's going to weigh it through the Word of God and what he knows, and he's going to deliver to you counsel. But sometimes you're going to have to mull it over because you just had maybe 30 minutes to sit down with him and ask him for counsel, and you had, you know, what, about a year and a half of your trouble? You didn't spill it all out. He didn't get every detail. He doesn't know all of it. So the scripture saying in verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. So you have to take the truth that God's man gave you or the word of God gave you, and then you take that and you try to understand it and to put it into play in your life and in your family situation. Because God's always going to use his leaders in the home, in the church, maybe on the bus. I mean, God puts people into those places. Listen, folks, when you're on, Dr. Lee Robertson, they didn't have bus captains. They had bus pastors. Because as much as we don't think about it that way, but it's a delegated authority of the pastor to minister to a group of people. Now, we're good to use it for youth pastors and assistant pastors that assist the pastor. And we can go through, you know, children's pastor. We're good to do that. But I like that idea of pastors, bus pastors, because the person that gets to see them every week is their pastor on the bus, somebody that's ministering to them, somebody that is watching for their soul under the delegated authority of the pastor of the church. And oftentimes we don't always see our roles like that. But hey, folks, as a husband, man, you ought to be standing up in a place where you really are pastoring your home under your pastor. That what pastor said from church pulpit is what echoes in your home. What the word of God says is echoing in my home. And we're all in one accord. And when the Bible talks about being in one accord, do you know that the Bible is always, almost every place in the book of Acts, they're going to prayer. They're begging God for something because they're in one accord. And the church, even like now, as we approach Anniversary Sunday, the church ought to be in one accord, begging God for a great day. Begging God for souls, begging God that we can get on one accord and we can be of one mind that this is God's day, the anniversary that he planted a church in Haines City, Florida, that he put a pastor in position to lead us, and not so we can spend ourselves on him, but so that we can spend ourselves on the one whose we are, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be about his business. That's the business of the church, folks. He goes through this counsel and he says, the just man, look at verse 6. Most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. This takes a good shot at us, because even in our homes, This reminds us, if we're going to have counsel, we're still going to have to mull it over. It's like deep water. We're going to have to throw a bucket down the well and try to fish out exactly what I need to put into place in my life, and I need to understand it. But more so, stay in the course. There's a lot of men, and I listen, guys, I know you may think I'm poking at you, but it was, I think it was just a week or so ago that it was the ladies' day, okay? So it's your time tonight, right? But a faithful man. You know, we need faithful men. If there's an epidemic in America that has destroyed our country, it's fatherless homes. All right? And then there's a bunch of homes where the father stayed, but he is absent in the decisions. He's absent in the discipline. He is just an absentee dad. And again, that is where we're at. That is where America is, and that is why America is in the shape that it's in. And then we could measure how many men that are in the church and do have spiritual discernment, how many of them are applying that faithfully in their home. A faithful man who can find. And I could even measure, like I said, we could measure different men and we could say they were faithful for 5 years. They were faithful for 10 years. And we've talked about this. I don't know if you could go back just a few weeks and remember what I said, but in my home, I don't want my kids just to be raised, and when they all leave the house, I go, shoo, I don't need to be faithful anymore. Because in my house, I still got one in the house, and there's a grandchild on the way. So there's no end to my faithfulness where people need to see me to stand faithful. See, it's not just, you know, I like being able to do what God called me to do, but God gave me a family first. And my faithfulness isn't determined because I'm the pastor. My faithfulness is determined because I'm a husband and a father. And I wouldn't let anybody come into my house with a gun and shoot my family without defending them. And I sure wouldn't turn my children loose on the world without investing in them the Word of God and the things that God has put in me. I want my children to have more than I had by my age. You know, we talked about going another 49 years. I wish I'd have started a little bit earlier, but I was still growing. The Lord was still working on me. You know, the children in my home have had every opportunity to serve God at a young age, to be on fire for Him. They've been around it. I've made sure they were in church. I've tried to invest in them, and never have I ever tried to cut down the pastor in my home and say, this pastor isn't the one, that we, you know, this isn't the Word of God. Or I believe this, but I don't believe this. My kids have realized that we love the Lord and we're going to serve Him. And what Job said, what we preached on Sunday, you know, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I want my children to realize that I'm going to the mat for Jesus Christ in my life. Amen. Whether He needs me to walk this road and plow this field, if that's what He wants of me, or if He decides to take me home, I want to be found faithful. Either way. And in the book, counsel is one of those things. Folks, I didn't get here by myself. Now, when I went to Bible college, I sat down, my wife and I sat down with our pastor and said, we're full time. And he had said, well, I want you to come on staff here. And I said, I don't have any comfort about it. Pray with me, preacher. And I sat down with him. He gave me counsel and we counseled together. But I can tell you that wasn't an easy decision to pack my family up and move it to Haines City, Florida to go to Bible college. It was like deep water. I was trying to understand what God was doing because, yeah, I could be full-time. They wanted me to be on staff there, but I had this feeling inside of me, that's not what God wanted of me. And through counsel and prayer and studying of the Word of God, God directed my life. Hey, folks, God's doing some things. Look, if you would, let's look later in the Scripture. I want to look later in the chapter. I know time's sake, I don't want to keep us too long tonight, but I want you to see the two times in the Scripture that it deals with counsel, because it's really the focus of the chapter. But look back in the chapter, and he'll say in verse number, if you can see this, if he'll say, let's start in verse 22. Verse 22. I want to make sure you read this, and we're going to jump back to where it says counsel. Verse 22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? So the Bible has really given us this idea that, you know, a lot of times, men, I understand who you are. I'm a Superman, right? Until you get a mark on your forehead, all right, man? That's what I got lately, right? Those are the things that wake us up and help us remember us. We were reminded that we're not bulletproof, that we're not supermen. And that gets easier and easier as you get older, but a lot of times now there's a lot of water under the bridge with my family. It wouldn't be better at the beginning to realize that God is in control of all things and that God, if I'm yielded to Him, He's directing my way and my steps. And so if He's directing my way and my steps, then who in the world is it that's going to be, I'm holy, I'm the one that's directing this thing? No, God is doing it all the time. He says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? So where am I going to understand it? I'm going to understand it from God's words. That's where I'm going to figure out why God's doing this in my life. Where am I going to understand my way? How am I going to understand my way? Through prayer. And God revealing things by the light of the Holy Spirit of God inside of me, pulling it out of the Word of God. And when I really don't understand, sometimes I need to go to my authority and my counselors that God's put in my life where I can say, I don't understand what God's doing. I don't want to make a move outside of God's will. I need a counselor to help me with this. God helps us with all those things. Look at verse 18. So he, in the first early part of the chapter, he deals with this diverse weights and measures. But in verse 18, he says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. You know, we talked about this. Every one of us are in a battle. This is a spiritual battle. This whole Christian life is a battlefield. Amen? The Soggy Bottom Boys sang it, didn't they? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. A fight and not a game. Amen? And, there's some things here. So for us as Christians, we realize we're in a battle. And so for me, every purpose, you know what a purpose is? That means I purpose to do something. Let's say I want to have a godly home where God is honored. That's a purpose. That's a purpose. Listen, God gave the church a purpose. He gave the home a purpose. He set everything on purpose. So He's the one guiding the way. So every purpose is established by counsel. So if I'm going to raise my kids right, if I'm going to have the right kind of church, if I'm going to have the right kind of bus ride, if I'm going to have the right kind of Sunday school class, if I'm going to have those things, then I need to realize that every one of them is a purpose and they need to be established in counsel, in the counsel of the Word of God. It needs to be bathed in prayer, and I need to, if I don't understand my way, if I still can't balance it all and I need some help, I need to go to my leader, my counselor, and say, hey, you know, that's why in Sunday school, we have a Sunday school director. You don't have to always run straight to the pastor. You can go to the leader that he set up to be a counselor. If you're in the choir, the first person you go to is the choir director, not the song leader, if they're different on a certain day, amen? I mean, we can laugh about it, but you know, we gotta come to a place where we realize there's leaders and there's layers of people God has put in our lives to counsel us, to help us. Why? Because every purpose under the sun, every one of them. Do you know what our president does? Before he cut the pipeline, you know what he did? He took counsel. You may laugh at that, but you know the world even realizes this is true. And they practice it. And I would dare say if we really took the math on it, we could see it from God's eyes, the world practices it closer than we practice this truth. Because a lot of times we think, I know enough of the Bible. I know enough to get me by. I know enough to raise my family outside the church or my way, the way I was raised. The one thing I can tell you is, you know, I had good parents and they kept me in church, but I knew that that wasn't a perfect home because there are none. And the only perfect home I've ever found is in this book. And if we could live the way God wants us to live and serve His purposes, man, I can tell you, it would be a much better home than I could ever build. And God could make a much better home with an imperfect man than I ever could if I just follow His counsel and His way. Folks, a lot of times, the problem in our lives isn't because we haven't taken counsel. It's because we didn't start at the right time. We didn't. When we needed it most, we weren't looking for it. It was behind. We were always behind asking for counsel to fix things when we should have asked counsel at the beginning of all of it. So in our lives, in your Christian life, and in your walk, you say, for the young people, make sure you got good counselors in place. You know, guys that will go out of here from the college and serve God as different places, always take that leader and use the counsel God's given you. And make sure you're getting counsel from the Word of God. In all these things, God's going to lay it out. But I want you to see this. I'm going to read one last verse. In verse 10, he says, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are like abomination to the Lord. He's just talking about that, you know, what happens when we don't take counsel. I know the Bible says this, but I think this. That's a diverse weight and measure. That's I know the Bible's got true weight, and I can weigh it out and meet it out, but I'd rather put my weight on the scale. I'd rather weigh it out my way. Well, let me just ask you, when you stand before the judgment seat, when you stand before God one day and you give an account, now you're not going to give account for your sin. I realize that if you're saved. But what's the measuring stick going to be? Is it going to be your weight, or God going to put the true plate on? Is he going to put it on just the way he said it, or is it going to be, this is where I think the standard ought to be? Verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. It's interesting to me as I finish up the study of chapter 20 tonight. I just want you to see this. In this area, he does not mention, and again, we don't always focus on this part of it. He doesn't say a child is known by their playfulness. A child is known by, you know, their hair color, their eye color, the family that they're a part of. It says a child is known by their work. You know what you're going to be measured by when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? The work. Because every one of us, whether the work be pure or whether it be right, the two measuring sticks for the home, and boiling all the way down to this. Boy, preacher, you said a lot tonight. What can I take home with me? The two measuring sticks that everyone, this is your counsel for tonight. In my home, the two questions I always ought to ask myself when I'm about to do something with my family or about to step out in something, is this pure? Is this right? And every one of them, that will help you. The Holy Spirit of God will answer on either one of those questions. And he will mete out the counsel you need because you've been given enough truth to measure whether it is pure or whether it's right. And that's not just for the adult folks. It says even a child can measure that. Amen. But as a father, I'm responsible for my home. A child, they have to make a decision. Am I even going to measure it? As a father, I'm leading the home, and I'm going to measure, is this pure? Is this right? And if it's not going to measure up, we're not going to partake in it. We're not going to go that way. Amen. We're going to close out in prayer tonight. I will hope you grab those books in the back. We have prayer books. And please sign up on that prayer sheet over there. If there's any blanks, fill them in. Only leave the preacher a few because, you know, I don't want to have to sign up for all of them. Amen. Help me out. Amen. Help me out. I'm going to be signed up, but, you know, don't leave me 20 blanks. All right. You guys get over there. You young guys. Amen. Go on and take a slot. You college guys, you college girls, make sure you sign up. I know you may have waited for a little while to make sure the church could get the most choice spots, but you make sure you sign in. You're a part of the church as well. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for the Word of God and how it counsels us to make decisions and to make our work pure, whether our work is right. God, I pray you just help us to take this home with us tonight. And Lord, help us to live it out on a daily basis. Help us not soon forget. Help us not, Lord, to start putting our weights on the plate and not to have your weight and let your Word of God weigh in supreme on what is pure and what is right. God, I pray you just guide and direct in our lives. Lord, I love this church. And Lord, I pray you just continue to bless it. Lord, you continue to help us through your Word. I pray you'd help us, Lord, even this Sunday as we know the weather, Lord. I know you're going to give us the perfect weather, what we need. But help people to come and to be here. Help people that are lost to find their ways inside the doors and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and come to the saving knowledge that they can know that they know that they know that Jesus is Lord of all. In Jesus' name, amen.